Really glad to see a good group of you tonight. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
And I hope you will benefit from this Bible class tonight. I'm glad you're here. I know you want to study the Bible, so that's what we're going to try to do tonight. And just go to the text and see what the Bible says for us tonight. And then we're going to start, as you see on the screen, we're going to be addressing, there's some key verses that have concerned the family that are scheduled for us to address on our curriculum for this quarter. One of them, of course, is Matthew 19. The other one is 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to get to that maybe next week. We might spend this class session and possibly Sunday on this verse, these few verses, and then we're going to move to 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to be ready to wrap it up on this quarter. Okay, as you can see on the screen, we're going to look at this section. Maybe some of you might be waiting for it, or maybe some of you might wish we didn't address it. I don't know what's your position. We'll see. But we need to get here anyways. It's part of what we've been studying, God's plan for the home. And we set the background on Sunday concerning Deuteronomy 24:7. I mean, 24 first verses, first 1, 2, and 3. And that was very eye-opening, seeing that that part of the law of Moses and how they talk about divorce in that section. But we're going to see, we're going to focus now on what Jesus has to say. Remember, what we saw in Deuteronomy 24 was what Moses wrote. And that was something expedient, necessary for the practices and customs they were using. So God allowed them for them to divorce, but he didn't command them to do so. Okay, it wasn't a commandment. So now we get to Matthew 19. We're going to be back, mention a few aspects of Deuteronomy 24 as we move on. But if you notice, where did this happen? Okay, this event, this conversation happened towards the latter part of Jesus' ministry. Okay, if you see on the screen, let me see if I can highlight this place. You see, I'm highlighting, making this little circle there on that section called Perea. Okay, so we're going to see in the text that this happened on this section of Perea. Notice, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, notice, he departed from Galilee. So he's no longer in Galilee, okay, where he spent most of his ministry, and came to the coasts of Judea. But notice, beyond the Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan. So he's not in Judea per se, but he's on the coasts, possibly talking about the Dead Sea. But this section of Perea, okay? And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. So we're approaching the last week of Jesus' ministry. He's making his way to Judea. He won't be back to Galilee. He's making his way to Judea, where he's going to be crucified, okay? So we have this, this is when it happened in Perea, and we have the first verses. Very interesting how Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all put this event in the same time frame, okay, all of them. Notice, for example, notice in your Bible, if you're in Matthew 19 already, notice, for instance, the order of events of the whole chapter, okay, we're going to have on the first part of Matthew 19, verses 1 through 12, through 12, we're going to see this matter of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, this question that Jesus was asked. And then on verse 13 through 15, we're going to see how Jesus, some little children come to him, and he blesses them, okay? And then we're going to see the story of who after the little children. Let me see if you're in your Bible there. Beginning in verse 16, what's the next story there? The rich young ruler, correct. Now, notice, we have these three stories now. Notice, for instance, go to Mark chapter 10. And notice the order of events there in Mark chapter 10. So we're going to begin in Mark 10, beginning the first 12 verses, very close to Matthew. And we're going to have this matter of the question that Jesus was asked from the Pharisees. Now, notice the next event. What's the next event according to Mark? Verse 13. Jesus blessing the little children. Okay, correct. Now, if you keep on going, what's going to be the next story there? It's going to be the same one as Matthew, the rich young ruler. So we see also that they are coordinated in this regard. Now, when it comes to Luke, the only difference is Luke, but Luke is going to add some more information. Okay? The order of the stories is going to be the same. Let me see. Notice, for instance, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Okay, we have Jesus blessing the little children. And then after the little children, we have the matter of the rich young ruler. Okay? Now, what about the question of the marriage divorce? Well, that's in chapter 16. Okay, we go a little bit back. And let me see. I'm trying to see, remember the verse. But that's on verse in chapter 16. As a matter of fact, look at the verse 16-18, okay? Right before the story of Rich and Lazarus, we have this statement made by Jesus: whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries he who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. That's the only thing Luke records, okay? He won't record the question being asked. He only records the statement made by Jesus, okay? I'm going to learn later, as we move on in the lesson, that this, most likely, this statement was made in private, according to Mark, with the disciples and Jesus on another place. Okay, so we're going to get there. Okay, so you see there on the screen, okay, this order of events. We have Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 16 and 18. Of course, Luke takes several chapters to explain and include some other matters, okay, that Luke thought it was pertinent to include. But anyways, that's what happened in that place of Perea, getting close to the end of Jesus' ministry. Sometimes we read the New Testament, but I wish I can get on my mind in what place it happened and in what time frame, according to the timeline, it happened. So it gives us an idea to know what happened in where and when, okay, what was around it. So we see it happened there in Perea. Okay, now, notice the question they were asking. Matthew 19:3. Going back to Matthew 19. Okay, we're going to stay there as much as we can. But then notice the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him. Now we see the purpose was to tempt him. Okay, they were trying to see how he reacted, to find fault. You know, temptation is to make us fall. Okay, that's the purpose of temptation, to make us fall. Okay, so they were tempting him. Now, here's the question, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Okay, that's the question. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Of course, we read on the background, on the class before, that there was a school of Hillel, and the school of Hillel, he taught his disciples that it was okay to put away his wife for any cause, based on Deuteronomy 24, okay? Now, they're asking the question, of course, coming from the standpoint of this rabbi, okay? Now, let me do this. They could have asked the question, is it okay to have two wives? Is it okay for polygamy to exist? They could have asked the same thing, and Jesus could have said, well, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted polygamy. But at the beginning, it was not so. You see, it was a corruption. It was a man-made decision for this to happen, for polygamy and putting away wife for any cause. It was something that man made. Given this bill of divorcement was something that man came up with. And so God said, well, these men are not going to change their mind. I'm going to legislate what they're doing, and I'm going to allow them to put away, but I'm going to put certain boundaries to protect the woman. Okay? They might as well could have asked, is it okay to have two wives, three wives, five wives? Okay. But notice, why couldn't they ask this question on polygamy? Very interesting. When they went into Babylonian captivity, you know, they were there for 70 years. This served as a way to purge some of the sins they continually committed. One of them was idolatry. Now, when it comes to the time of Jesus, there's no more Baal. There's no more Molech. There's no more Ashtoreth. You see, all throughout Judges, Kings, First Second Chronicles is all about this idols and jealousy. Now, in times of Jesus, that's not an issue. Same thing happened with polygamy. Once they came out of Babylon in captivity, they were purified. No more polygamy. See? You know, God knows what He's doing when this captivity came. So no more polygamy. Why did Kieran ask this question? Because in the first place, we know the law of Moses did not command polygamy. Okay? Moses was given some instructions concerning people who had two wives. That by no means endorsed them having two wives. Okay? Same thing with putting away wife for any reason. Okay? And now, like I mentioned, number two, no longer practice polygamy. And unlike the divorce matter, polygamy wasn't anymore a debate. Now, if you come to the marriage and divorce and remarriage question, there was a big debate between these two schools, okay? Hillel's school and Shammai's school, they and their disciples. Of course, Hillel's had more followers. You know why? Because Hillel thought you can put it away for any reason. So people like that. Okay? It was more prominent. Now Shammai's, and we'll see in a minute, or like we saw the last time, didn't have as many as followers as wasn't as popular. Okay? Now, and we see also that the Bible mentions how polygamy. See, the Bible records events the way they happened. Okay? It will be our mistake to take an excuse to practice polygamy just because it's mentioned in the Bible. Okay, just as it would be an excuse to practice putting away for any reason or remarrying, no matter what reason you divorce, just because it was practiced in the Bible. Okay, so the Bible is open. Polygamy happened, but also the Bible is open that polygamy brought jealousy. Remember Hannah and Peninnah? Okay, there was jealousy. Okay, there was bitterness. There was strife, hatred because of polygamy. Okay, who's the favorite? Who you love the most? Okay, and sometimes I wouldn't. Like Elkanah, he wasn't ashamed of telling his other wife that he loved Anna the most. Okay? Now the question is, then why marry someone you don't love? You see what I'm saying? So anyways, okay? So now look at the proposition. What was behind the question they asked him? Okay? Evidently, they knew Jesus' stand on this question. They knew it because this wasn't the first time Jesus spoke on the matter. Okay, I'm going to give you a prize, maybe, or an A grade, if you tell me when was the first time Jesus addressed this matter before Matthew 19. This wasn't the first time.
Matthew chapter 5.
Absolutely. His Brother Larry, he knows what we're talking about. Okay, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, is the first time Jesus addresses this question. But this happened in Galilee. You see, we're moving south. These people are Pharisees, most likely from Judea. Of those who crucified Jesus, okay? So it wasn't the first time that Jesus mentioned. So this is the question. Should divorce be granted just for any reason? In other words, is what we're practicing correct? Is what Hillel is teaching us, is that correct? Should we just put away from any reason based on Deuteronomy 24? Okay? Now, we see, and I just made a little summary here of these two views. And I mentioned it because there's debate here. Okay, there's debate in this matter. Hillel, what will Hillel answer? Is it okay to put away your wife for any reason? What will he answer? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Very good. Okay. Now, what will Shammai answer? Is it okay to put away wife for any reason?
No.
No, it's not. You see, even though Hillel will answer yes, he had the wrong practice because he was. Pushing them or encouraging them to put away for any reason. The wrong practice, okay? For every cause. Now, Shammai, even though he said no, he had the wrong interpretation because he narrowed it down to this lewd behavior, and some would summarize it as adultery. But it couldn't be adultery because adultery was punished by what? By death. How can adultery be the exception under the law of Moses? If once you become an adulterer, you need to be put to death. That couldn't be a rightful exception. Okay, so in summary, it's lewd behavior. So we see wrong interpretation on the part of Shammai. Okay, now Jesus is going to come, and he's not going to even care about these two guys. See what I'm saying? He's going to go back to the Word of God. Okay, It tells us something nowadays for us. Okay? Now, let's keep on going. So, Jesus set aside the law of Moses very plainly. Okay? Let's go to Matthew 5, 31 and 32. As Brother Larry just pointed out. Okay? In Matthew 5, right in the Sermon on the Mount, we have several instances where Jesus said, you heard it was said. Okay? For instance, notice in verse 27, before we get there, Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in her heart. Okay? Now, you see, he's above the law of Moses. Okay? Now we come to verse 31. Notice, furthermore, it has been said, whomever divorces his wife, let him give a certificate of divorce. Okay, give him a certificate. You're going to divorce her? Okay, just do it as your custom says. Just give him the certificate. But I said unto you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries the woman who is divorced commits adultery. So here's the answer Jesus already gave way before in Galilee, one of the mountains of Galilee. These mountains of the mountain of the Beatitudes. So we see Jesus is setting aside. If I take Deuteronomy 24 today and try to apply it, okay, I will be off place. Because that doesn't correspond to us. Okay? Jesus very clearly is saying, you have heard that it was said. The only place that this was said, it was Deuteronomy 24. That's the only place. Okay? But I tell you, this is now the commandment by which you are going to be abiding, okay, that you have to obey. Okay, are we good so far over here? Okay, all right. Very good. So, of course, there is a difference of this word adultery and fornication, okay? In a moment, I'm going to put a definition on the screen, but it's two different Greek words. Adultery, moikeia, okay? That's something that can be defined as sexual intercourse between two people, one of whom is married. That's adultery. But fornication is a more general word, porneia, okay? Although adultery is more specific, fornication is more broad, okay? I'm going to put the definition on the screen in just a moment. But there is a difference between these two. Now, okay? So like I said, they knew the answer Jesus would give concerning this question. They already knew or had an idea. They were trying to see what his attitude was concerning this question. Okay? Now notice, that's the proposition. But notice what Jesus replies. Okay? And I'm continuing reading there in Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Okay? Now he answered and said to them, have you not read that that he which made him at the beginning made him male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay? He said, is it lawful to put away your wife for any reason? Okay? What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. So there's an original design, okay? God designed it this way originally from the book of Genesis. But as we come along the years, they become hard towards their wives, okay? And they began giving the certificate of divorce. Now the law of Moses comes, and seeing this abuse that this certificate of divorce can cause the wife, he's going to say, okay, if you want to divorce her, you give the certificate, but there are certain conditions, okay? If you divorce her and she remarries, that's bye-bye, okay? You won't see her again. So think about it twice before you divorce her, okay? Okay, what about if she remarries but her husband dies? Well, you still cannot remarry her. You made your choice when you divorced her, and she remarried. Isn't it, according to Romans 7, isn't it dead? Now you're free to remarry? Well, not according to the law of Moses of that time. Romans 7 applies to us as Christians, okay? So we see in there's a plan, and then there's a bad practice, and then God suffers that practice, okay, for expediency purposes, and then allows them to continue with that practice, but that's not original design, and that's a temporal measure. You see, when Christ came, he's going to change that temporal measure. Okay, he's going to come to an end. Okay, so we saw God ruled out that question from the beginning. If you want to answer to that, just go to the book of Genesis, and God had ruled it out from way, way before. Okay, that's Jesus' reply. And we're going to go back to this a little bit more. But the question is, this Pharisee is trying to see what was his attitude towards the law of Moses. You know, for them, Moses was everything. Law of Moses was everything. So you come in here, you say you're the Son of God, and in the Sermon on the Mount, you made some statements that made you look you're above the law of Moses. I wanted to tell us openly, before everyone, what's your attitude? Okay, answer this question based on Moses' law. What's your attitude? Are you against it? Are you for it? Do you think you're superior to it? Do you think you're exempt from it? What's your attitude? We want to know because you want to find fault in you so we can crucify you. You see, they crucify men anyways, okay? They didn't find any fault here on this occasion, okay? And non-occasion, for that matter, okay? They were just false witnesses. But what was his attitude concerning the law of Moses? He went ahead and quoted Genesis. So they were trapped. So now where do we go? We were hoping he was going to step on Moses, but he's reaffirming Moses. He's saying Genesis is accurate, is correct, and is binding on us. What can we do? We're trapped. See? And not only that, if you go to the Gospel of Mark, notice what happened in the Gospel of Mark. They ask him, okay, and then he answered them. What did your Bible says? What's on the scrolls? That question you're asking me, what's on the scrolls? Tell me the answer from the Bible, from the scrolls, from the Torah, from the book of Deuteronomy. And then the answer, and they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put it away. See, he's answering their question with scripture. Okay, so he's upholding scripture. There's no way they can find fault of him trying to step over Moses in a negative way. Okay, we know he has more authority than Moses. That's why he said what he said on the Beatitudes. But that's his reply. Okay, very interesting the way Mark puts it. Mark gives us another perspective of what happened and gives us some other details. Okay, as we're about to see. Okay, so no fault in that. Okay, they try to do a rebuttal. Okay, try to counterattack. Okay, or excuse themselves. Okay, the only way they had to excuse themselves, notice the reply, Matthew 19:7. Okay, they say unto him, then why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement and to put it away? If that was God's design, why then did Moses allow it to happen? Putting away for any cause, or putting away your wife. Of course, implying for every cause. That's the point of view they're coming from, for every cause. Okay, so that's their reply to Jesus' word. In other words, why did Moses give a different judgment than the one you're giving us tonight? Okay, so the answer is there. This was a temporary, expedient measure, okay, in the law of Moses. It was temporal. It was for a purpose, okay, and it was for a reason, okay. What was the reason? The reason is this work, aklepocardia, or aklepocardia, cardia, heart, okay. What was the reason? This heart of yours was the reason why Moses suffered for you to put away your wife, okay. In other words, this Greek word, which is on the screen, they're transliterated, it means an unyielded frame of mind, okay, unyielding rather, or coldness, obstinacy, stubbornness of your heart, okay. Your heart was stubborn, was obstinate, was cold towards your wife, okay, and God is not going to permit man to destroy one of the most sacred institutions, which is the institution of marriage. Before he destroys it, man destroys it by being cold, hard, stubborn, unyielding towards his wife. I'm going to suffer you to put it away for her sake. Yes.
You said a question. I'm not sure how to word it. I'd like your help if you would. You mentioned the first time that Jesus mentioned marriage, divorce, and remarriage was in Matthew 5. Verse 22, I'm going farther up in the context just because I'm trying to get a sense of what's going on. In 22, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, but whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council." I'm not sure if Jesus is always talking about what happens in relationship to Jew to Jew, that is brother to brother, more like what we would say American to American. You know, that is people that we meet on the street as opposed to Christian to Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think later on in the context, you know, he's going to give a more detailed explanation of what's the difference between brother to brother, that is Jew to Jew, or Christian to Christian. Because Jesus, remember, he's still living within the Old Testament. And until that transition, until his time of the cross, those laws, he's teaching what the law should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier he says, "Not one jot of until shall pass away or shall be destroyed from the law until what? Until the crucifixion, until that time in which it was necessary for the law to change."
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that there's an appropriate spot after that he goes to the lust of the eyes, and then he immediately goes to the fact that he says, "If thy right eye offend thee," or whichever one that he's talking about there, he says, "Pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee to be one of the members that should perish, and not the whole body."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the point is that Jesus wanted them to understand that there's a certain thing about the body that it has to work and function properly. It has to be whole. And if there's a segment of that body that, you know, is not whole, is affecting the body in a negative way, then that has to be dealt with. That's understood. And so he transitions from that, I don't mean to be harsh, but that harsh explanation to what he goes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And the fact that there was only one exception to that. And I mean, we can't help that as Christians. I mean, that's what the Bible says and mm-hmm. teaches. So I don't know if I really said something.
No, I think you mentioned. Yeah, this is Sermon of the Mount is person to person relationships, okay, and it's giving us a foreview of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. So we're seeing principles that are going to be how the kingdom of heaven is going to be like when the kingdom is established. So we're seeing that. I mean, thank you for that comment, Kelly. Thank you. That's a good comment and something for us to consider, definitely. Anyone else wants to make a comment? Yes.
Just thinking about too, as it relates to marriage, even from the time of the Jews, when Moses did permit them to marry, to the transition into Christianity, I would imagine that there were people that were still engaging in the practice of polygamy, as you were talking about, from the transition from Judaism to Christianity. Because it was a cultural thing that was going on. But Jesus also addresses that transition in and of itself, because when we notice when Paul was teaching to Timothy the requirement for elders and deacon, he mentions they have to be the husband of one wife.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did he mention that? What, I mean, to us it's commonplace, everybody's
yes.
married to one person. But at this time, those that were transitioning out of Judaism to Christianity may be coming into Christianity with more than one wife, becoming Christians.
Yes.
But in order to be in a leadership role in the church, you had to abide by what was stated in the beginning.
Yes.
From the beginning.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I that's a good comment, and that's a good observation. According to what we have here in the scripture, it wasn't an issue as it was before polygamy. In fact, the only Jew recorded in the New Testament as having multiple wives, you know who that was? He was a half Jew, okay? Half Jew, half Idumean. It was Herod the Great. Several wives, okay? He was Jew, okay? Half Jew. So that's the only one recorded having that issue. I mean, in general, it looks like the Pharisees didn't struggle with polygamy as they used, his ancestors used to. They were struggling with pride, with some other matters, but not as much as polygamy. And, you know, it was okay for the Jews. It was wrong to practice polygamy, having all the wives at the same time, but it was okay to have these 10 wives, one after the other. You see how inconsistent that is? Okay? It's wrong to have them all together at the same time, but it's okay if you have one, then another one, then you have 10 wives. Put them away as you wish. You see the inconsistency there. Okay? So there was something still needed to be fixed in that matter. Okay? Now, and as I'm just finishing this verse in 19:8, he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning, that was not the case. Okay? He's saying, that's it. Like I mentioned, that's enough. Okay? If you practice it, Moses suffered, that no more. It's not going to happen anymore. Okay? Now, the only exception, continuing in there, Matthew 19:9, and I say unto you that whoever shall put away his wife, notice, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another one, committed adultery, and whoso married her which is put away, that committed adultery. Some say, well, you don't have to remarry if you're divorced. That's right. But usually, divorce has the tag of being available to be able to remarry. In fact, young widows were encouraged to remarry. Okay? So, a young man who divorced his husband because of fornication, and I think I lost the screen, okay? There's this tag of remarriage coming to this divorce aspect. Okay? Now, Let me see. Something happened there. I think I know what it is. Let's see. Okay. Anyway, we can continue. Let me see. He's looking for the... All right. Okay. I think I have it. All right. Just... Okay, just taking time. It's connecting. Okay, all right. Now, continuing this with this... Now, what's adultery and what's fornication? I'm just going to throw these definitions out there. Adultery, like I mentioned, any dictionary is going to tell you sexual intercourse between two people, one of whom is married, okay? Apply to married. Now, when we talk about fornication, okay, it's a more broad... there we go. Okay, good. Now, there's fornication on the screen, okay? It's any kind of wrongdoing, including sexual acts, okay? Notice, for instance, let me see, there's a definition. Okay, yeah, it includes every form of sexual deviation, such as homosexuality, incest, lewdness, bestiality, perversion, and adultery, okay? A more simple definition, unlawful sexual intercourse. So you see, adultery is one aspect of fornication, okay? And there's several aspects of fornication, homosexuality, incest, and so on and so forth. Okay, so there's a difference between the two words. Okay? Now, this is the only exception. Except for unlawful sexual intercourse with another person. Okay? Can be someone of the sex, same sex. Can be a child. It can be an animal. There's different aspects to this fornication. Okay? Now, let's see. Somehow it's just disconnecting, so it's okay. All right. We'll be back. Okay, now moving on. Okay? Now, very interesting how Mark, and I'm just going over the story, trying to put together both accounts, okay? But Mark in chapter 10 and verse 11, you know, Mark has that version also. But notice that once the Pharisees asked him the question, and once Jesus replied, that from the beginning was not so. So whatever man God had joined together, let no man put asunder. You know, when the parable of the sower was given, they got home, or they were apart, and the disciples asked him, what was the meaning of the parable? Can you explain that to us? Well, same thing happened here. They get to a home, and in the house, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. Could you explain? Could you tell us about what you just answered, those Pharisees, right there on the spot? Okay, we want to hear it more slowly. Okay, now here's the answer. And he said unto them, now this is to the disciples, only to them. Okay, whosoever shall put away, there's the divorce, his wife, and marry another, committed adultery against her, And then notice this order of words here that Mark includes. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery. You see, not only the man can put away, but the woman can put away. Okay? According to the Old Testament, it was only the man who had the right to do so. Okay? Not the woman. But you see, now we see here in the Jesus' word, now the woman is given that right as well, if that's the case, for her. Okay? Now that's what I just mentioned. So this commandment is for male and female, for everyone. Okay? This exception. Okay? So we see we don't see much explanation. We only see the statement, okay? Whether you want to accept it or not. Just a statement. It's a commandment. It's only exception. One exception, okay? There's no explanation to this. There's no debate. It's only what Jesus said, okay? And then lastly, notice how they reacted, okay? Because they said, wow. They said, wow. We've grown used to, or we've seen our relatives, parents, or ancestors, or rabbis teaching us, if you don't like her, just put her away. If she becomes really quarrelsome, if she becomes really fighting you back or disrespecting you, okay, you can put her away. So they grew used to this. They say, now, if she becomes this bad attitude, if she doesn't fulfill her obligations, if you disrespect me, it's better not to marry if I cannot put her away. See, that's the reaction. That's what they're saying here. Okay? We better not to marry then. If I cannot put her away when I dislike her or when she's misbehaving, okay? So his disciples said unto him, if it's the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Okay? Then Jesus is going to give him a reply. Okay? Remember, they were used to this school of thought that you can put her away for any reason. And now everything is changed for them. So they felt that it was the only condition for divorce and remarriage, that the chances of a happy marriage were too small, okay, if you cannot put her away, okay? So you see, they were equating happiness with putting away, okay, like consumer marriage, like I mentioned before, here in our society, marriage is for me to be happy. So they were taking marriage for me to be happy. When I cannot put her away, then how am I going to be happy if I cannot get rid of her whenever I need to? Okay? That was the thought. Okay? So also, this reaction indicated, like I mentioned, that this was the custom. Okay? And that Hillel's teaching, matter of fact, Hillel is the grandfather of whom? A teacher of Paul. Gamaliel. You see? Hillel was the grandfather of Gamaliel. Okay? So we're putting here some pieces together. Okay? So this was the custom. But anyways, the conclusion is the marriage is voluntary. Okay? You don't have to be married to be saved, okay, to go to heaven. You don't have to have a wife, okay? As a matter of fact, there's a brother with whom I've worked for many years. We traveled to Colombia, Venezuela, Panama, you name it, all over South America together. And he's single. And I say, he's single and still looking, okay? And he's at least 82. Okay, so there's someone who wants looking for a husband. So go ahead, okay? I have a single man and he's looking. The only thing is that I think is he's a little bit picky, okay? That's another reason why he might be still single, in my opinion. But we're good friends, okay? So we joke about it. But he decided not to marry. And he preaches the word. He wants to consecrate himself to the word of God. So he goes home. And then he lays things wherever he wants to lay them. He eats whatever he wants to eat. You see, he likes that type of life. On the other hand, if I would do the same thing, I would be in a big trouble. Okay? See what I'm saying? I would be in big trouble. Okay? So you see, that's his choice. Okay? And as we speak, he's on a plane. That brother we're talking about, he's on a plane. And he's going to be landing in Colombia at 9 p.m. So he's flying as we're talking of him. Okay, in Mexico we say when you talk about someone, his ears go like this. So maybe he's eating his meal, watching a movie, and his ears are going like that. Okay, so that's good because he knows we're thinking of him. But anyway, notice the last part. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save those who misgive him. Okay, for there are some eunuchs, which, notice, were born like that, from the mother's womb. And there are some other eunuchs which were made eunuchs by force. Okay? And there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Okay? Some cases of people who have not, it's better for not to marry. And I would add, Jesus said it's better for these people not to marry under these circumstances. Okay? If you were born a eunuch, better not to marry. If someone mistreated you, made you an eunuch, better not to marry. If you want to dedicate yourself for the kingdom of God, like my brother Owen, okay, better not to marry. Now I would say, if you are still immature, it's better not to marry. Okay? If you still have another lesson, better not to marry. And so on. We can keep on going. So he's giving some reasons. Okay? And he's a summary. There are some who should not marry. Those who were made eunuchs because of nature of cruelty from fellow men. Okay? Those who made themselves eunuchs voluntary, and those who want to dedicate themselves for the cause of Christ. Okay? This is just the general of the text. Okay? I want to go over it. I want to make another application on Sunday concerning this matter. This is going to be my last Sunday teaching this lesson. I'm going to have already arranged for a real nice, better-looking teacher to teach you on the following two Sundays. Okay? What was that? I have a couple of trips on the next two Sundays, but I'm going to be here on Wednesdays. Okay? So we're going to address this, make an application here on Sunday. You know, Jesus made a statement. We see the context is bigger than just that question he was asked. There's more important matters to focus if we want to have good marriages than just focus on what excuse can I find or what grounds can I find to put away my wife. Okay? There's more important matters. If we focus, for instance, on the Sermon on the Mount, how to treat our fellow brother and sister, how to treat our wives, we don't have to worry about the issue of divorce and remarriage. There's no way we can worry about it because we're living as a Christian husband, as a Christian wife should live. Okay, so we're going to talk about more on this following Sunday. Okay, so I think that's the veil. And thank you for your kind attention. Really appreciate your comments as well.